ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ko tō tātou au horihori tēnei. Hei hōtaka e pāniki te pūtaiao, te taiao, me te kaupapa o te ora. I'm Alison Balance, and now, the annual Bird of the Year competition kicks off on Monday, the 1st of October. That's next week. Now, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you'll know that I have a soft spot for seabirds. After all, New Zealand is the seabird capital of the world. And of the 13 previous winners of Bird of the Year, the only time a seabird, the fairy tern, took the title was the year that only seabirds were eligible to enter. So I'd love for a seabird to win Bird of the Year. And just like last year, I will be trying to make that happen. I'm teaming up with RNZ's business editor Giles Beckford again to campaign for Hoiho, the yellow-eyed penguin. Forest and Bird runs the Bird of the Year competition to highlight how threatened some of New Zealand's unique birds are, and seabirds are no exception. A third of our seabird species are seriously threatened, including hoiho. So now I'm going to catch up with a couple of people who are year-round seabird campaigners. They're working hard to try and remove one of the big threats facing some of our seabirds, getting accidentally killed during commercial fishing operations. The most recent State of the Marine Environment report for New Zealand from 2016 is a stock take of how well we are doing at looking after our oceans. It says that in 2003, an estimated 9,000 plus seabirds died in New Zealand fisheries. In 2014, just over 5,000 seabirds were estimated to have died. The most commonly caught birds include albatrosses and petrels, some of which are highly threatened. New Zealand is trying to stop the accidental bycatch of seabirds in its EEZ, but Forest and Birds seabird conservation advocate Karen Baird says that the problem is actually a global one.
As we know, we have a lot of seabirds breeding in New Zealand, more species than anywhere else in the world. But once they finish breeding, most of them, especially the albatrosses and petrels, fly off to other parts of the Pacific to overwinter and often to molt. In particular, many of our albatrosses and petrels fly straight across eastwards towards South America. And the big attraction there, of course, is the Humboldt Current, which provides a huge amount of food for them.
So tell me about the Humboldt Current.
So the Humboldt Current is a cold water current that flows up the coast of South America.
So it's a cold current, which means it brings lots of nutrients and richness.
Lots of food. Of course, people will recall the anchoveta fisheries in particular, these enormous fisheries of anchovies and pilchards. And so that's the sort of thing that the seabirds are after.
So what kind of species are going across to South America from New Zealand?
So there's a number of species, key species I guess we would call them, Antipodean albatross, which we know of course breed on the Antipodes. Antipodean albatross fly across to South America, then flying up the coast of South America and then back across to New Zealand at lower latitudes in a nice little circuit really. Another one that people will be familiar with is our lovely black petrel, of course, which flies across to Ecuador actually and Peru and spends the winter over there. And probably a lot of the juveniles might actually stay there rather than come back before they breed. So it's a really important link, really, between New Zealand and South America.
So are there risks to those birds when they're in South American waters?
Yes, indeed, and not only just in South American waters, but in the high seas as well. So as they move out of New Zealand, where we know they're at risk from our own fisheries and other threats as well, once they leave New Zealand, they start to come into contact with other fisheries, other fishing fleets from other nations, distant water nations such as Asian fishing nations, Japan, Taiwan, China. And then, of course, once they get into Chile and Argentina, they're at risk from fleets within those countries as well.
Do we have any idea how big those risks actually are, i.e. do we know how many New Zealand seabirds might be getting caught in South American and international fisheries?
I think in South America there is some information. The Chilean governments in particular have some quite high levels of observer coverage on some of their fleets, so we do know. And indeed they are starting to implement mitigation measures which are effective in preventing bycatch. But there are other fleets that we don't know very much about, and something that we would really like to investigate further. And in terms of the high seas, virtually no information and very high risk, as we know that many of those fleets are not implementing seabed mitigation measures.
So tell me about the mitigation measures that we use here in New Zealand.
Well, there's a number of different fishing fleets, but I guess the one of the key ones, particularly for albatrosses, is the what we call the service longline fleet, and they fish for primarily tunas and swordfish. And that's the one where people will know that when you set the line, there will be a baited hook on the line, and it's set out behind the vessel, and that floats on the surface for a period of time. And that provides a huge attraction to a seabird, particularly an albatross, which are great scavengers. So you can imagine that the most important thing is obviously to get that bait below the surface of water. Albatrosses are not great divers, so if you can get that bait down really quickly, that's the primary objective. And then while you're sinking that bait, you need to protect that with a measure such as a bird scaring line. So you need to have a bird scaring line and a weight on your hook, preferably. And the other measure that you can use is setting at night. Albatrosses in particular mainly forage during the day. So if you set your lines at night, that provides protection as well. So the Agreement for the Conservation of Albatrosses and Petrels, they do a lot of work around recognising best methods, or what they call best practice for mitigation for seabirds, and they have identified that those three measures are the best practice for the service longline fishery. In New Zealand, they're required to use a tory line or a bird scaring line and one of the other measures.
Thanks, Karen. Karen Baird is with Forest and Bird, which along with Te Papa is currently hosting a visiting Chilean seabird campaigner. He's working to make the other side of the Pacific Ocean safer for seabirds, including our Antipodean albatrosses. Their numbers have declined dramatically in the past decade. There are now only a quarter of the number of breeding females there were in 2004. We know that some birds are caught in New Zealand longline fisheries, and many more are dying in other fisheries across the Pacific, including in Chile.
My name is Cristian Suazo. I'm from Chile. I'm the coordinator of the Albatross Task Force team in Chile, and we are involved in the research and promotion of mitigation measures to face the global problem of seabird bycatching fisheries.
So like New Zealand, you have a number of seabird species that you're dealing with?
Yes, indeed. Mainly during the Austral winter, we have a lot of visitors, individuals of several species along the coast of Chile. So they are facing threats in our waters, but also in the middle of the Pacific.
So you've got a guide in front of you, and this identification guide is for people who are out on the boats to help them work out what birds they've got?
Yeah. My main reason here is the updating process of a seabird bycatch identification guide. This is coordinated and funded by the ACAP. ACAP is an agreement among 13 parties. It's the agreement for the conservation for albatrosses and petrels, where Chile and New Zealand are also party. So my role is meeting some experts here in New Zealand to know better about their species, some recommendations. Also, I'm collecting recommendations from people from different countries, mainly in the Pacific, Atlantic, and other waters.
So how big an issue is seabird bycatch and fisheries in Chile?
In Chile, we start several management actions. Indeed, we are very concerned about the issue. We are actively working in the development of seabird bycatch mitigation measures. We are also collaborating with other countries to improve the collection of data, but also the development of novel measures to reduce these impacts.
So what kind of measures, what kind of techniques are you asking fishers to use on their fishing boats so that they don't catch seabirds?
We are promoting several measures for mainly for industrial vessels. We are using bird scatter lines. They are cheaper to use, and they are demonstrated reductions in seabird bycatch around 98%.
98%?
Yeah. In addition, we are working in novel mitigation measures, some modifications of fishing nets in the case of pearl seine fisheries. These fisheries in the Humboldt Current in Chile and Peru are targeting for anchovy and sardines. So some structural measures and cheaper measures can reduce at least 98% in the case of shearwater bycatch.
Pearl seine fishers catch large schools of fish, such as anchovies, by surrounding them with a net and closing it up like a purse. If the net is too baggy and lies on the sea surface, it can accidentally trap small seabirds, which are feeding on the same fish. But some simple changes to the net mean that not only are fewer seabirds now being caught, but the fisher's job has become faster and easier. Christian is pleased about this win-win solution.
For us, it's so much important, you know, to reduce bycatch, but also those measures, those modifications, it doesn't affect, you know, the fishing success of fishermen. It's a key aspect, you know, for compliance and the promotion of those measures.
Thanks, Christian. That was Christian Suazo from the Albatross Task Force in Chile. I'm Alison Balance. And this Our Changing World podcast first aired on RNZ on the 27th of September 2018. If you'd like to know more, head to our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld, where you'll find photos and useful links along with all our stories going back 13 years. That should fill in a few hours. Now, if you listen to this podcast outside New Zealand, you may not have heard about our big celebration last week, marking 125 years since New Zealand women won the right to vote. We were the first country in the world with universal suffrage, and we are very proud of that. Sonia Sly is producing a great RNZ suffrage podcast called Beyond Kate. Kate Shepherd being the leader of the suffragists who fought for women's right to vote. Beyond Kate explores 125 years of women's suffrage in New Zealand and the challenges that women face in a society where the rules continue to shift. You can find Beyond Kate on your favourite podcast provider, where you'll also find us. We are on Twitter and Facebook as RNZ Science, and I'll post a link to the Beyond Kate podcast there as well. Thanks for your company. Bye for now. Mā te wā.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.